Glory. Okay, y'all sit down because y'all make me nervous. Y'all make me feel like I got to keep working. Amen. But we bless the Lord. I knew what God was going to do. I sensed it and I said, God, that's way out, like out of order. But who am I to tell God that he can't go out of order? So we try to be grown. But today we're going to hasten on because there's a few more I need to pray for. I feel the pull of the Spirit to pray for them. Come on, let's go to you. I want you to have Bible because I tell you the Lord has confirmed everything on today. Praise and worship was singing and then they came back and sang some more. And the Lord is saying to us today, let's go to Matthew chapter 14. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. In Matthew chapter 14, we're going to read verse 28, 29, and 30. Hallelujah. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. He cried, Lord, save me. Look at your neighbor. Well, let me do it like this. Whew, I feel God in this house. A few days ago, I ministered. And I was talking to you about Karate Kid. Y'all remember that? And in the scenario that I used, Daniel's son was at the tournament. And he was fighting because they had been fighting him and they were settling a score on the mat. Well, you know, the devil don't fight fair. He fights dirty. And so the opponent, he told the guy before him, take him down, injure him. And he said, but sir, I'm going to be disqualified. And he looked at him like it didn't matter. And see, the devil, oh my goodness, this is a brand new revelation. The devil would use whoever, and he don't care if he got to hurt his own to get to us. How I know? Suicide bombers. They are so committed to their belief that they will kill themselves to kill somebody else. Now, I tell you what, I love me. I love me. And I'm so glad that I'm not serving a God that would require me to put bombs and C4 and all that stuff on me and walk into a place to blow it up and kill me. I'm so glad. I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad. But he told him, injure Daniel's son, but don't take him totally out. Because he still wanted to fight him. Oh, I'm going somewhere with this. He injured him. Daniel's son got up. He said, let me keep fighting. But when he got to the final battle, his opponent injured him again. In the same spot. Let me just share something with you. The devil will hit you in the same spot that you've been hit at before because it's his goal to take you out. Because why? Because you're already weak in that spot. He's not going to go and hit you where you're strong. I'm going to hit you where you're weak. What is it? The weakest link. He goes after the weak. Okay. Okay. Because that's not all of my message. But I told you that while Daniel's son was down, he got discouraged. He told me, I can't do it. He said, I can't. Just call it. Just let it go. And he was crying. And he was just, I'm going to give up. I'm going to give up. I'm going to give up. And Mr. Miyagi said, Daniel's son. And I hear the Holy Spirit say, children of God. Children of God. He told us to focus. He said, focus, God. Daniel's son focused. And so I stopped by to tell you today, not only do you need to focus, but look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, keep your eyes on the Lord. I imagine if he could have, he would have hollered, Peter, focus, Peter. I'm feeling this already. I'm feeling this is good. Okay, so what are you saying when we talk about focus? We're just going to teach a little bit, and maybe you'll shout later, but I really need you to get it, because see what is happening. The enemy is on a mission. And if we don't stay focused and keep our eyes on the Lord, we got problems. Okay, how I know? Let me help you out. So when we talk about focus, focus is a point of concentration. I have a focal point. I have a view. When ballerinas, when they're spinning, when they begin to twirl, they tell them, get you a focal point. When you're twisting, they say, get a focal point. That every time that you look, I see that same thing. Because when you focus, focusing keeps you grounded. That's all it does. It keeps you grounded. You can ride on the merry-go-round, you can swing. As long as you have a focus and keep your eyes on that thing, it will keep you grounded. I wish somebody had told me that when I was little. I couldn't stand the merry-go-round. I'd get on and get sick, get a headache, but I didn't know if you get focused, you'd be all right. Some of us in the house today, you need to focus. You up and down, in and out, roundabout, because you're not focused. The devil trips you up with the simplest little things. Why? Because you're not focused. You're looking for answers in the wrong places. You're looking for answers on Google when your answer is in the Bible. They tell you don't use Wikipedia because Wikipedia ain't right. Don't focus on Wikipedia. That'll get you in trouble. Wrong information. And sometimes because we don't focus, we get the wrong information. And guess what? You can't go to everybody and get information. We learn the Lord has put gifts in the church. And if you're in a church, I'm going to look at you because you're mine. And if you're in a church, you ought to go to the gift that's in the church, where you go to where the Lord put you. Because if you go to a gift outside of the church, you're probably going to get the wrong information. Because that gift don't know you. Lord, that gift might give you something that they think kind of generic, you know, just kind of, oh, okay, this sounds good, this sounds smooth. But they don't know you really jacked up. And you don't need what they're giving you because they're pumping your head with lies. Okay, so you got to come to the gift where you belong at so you can get what you need and the real deal. Okay, so we're talking about keep your eyes on the Lord. So when we talk about focus, that point of concentration, focusing keeps you grounded. It keeps you from getting sick. It keeps you from getting distracted. It keeps you from going after things that is not like God. So in our scripture here, as we build up to where we read, we have the feeding of the 5,000, where he fed the 5,000. That was just men, wasn't even women and children included. So you're looking at probably about 10,000 people, 8,000 people. Because if every man had a wife and they had 2-3 heads of children. Okay, so you had a lot of people. So what is happening? God is setting the stage for what he's getting ready to do. Because, see, all along, as we read, we see that really the focal point is on him. We look at the fact that John was killed in prison, that he was in prison. He loved God, but he was beheaded in prison. Okay, come on, we got to keep focused because God is moving strategically. Sometimes God has to move people out of our way so we can see him. Don't get mad when folk walk away, and don't get mad when they're not texting you no more, and don't get mad because they're not liking your statuses on Facebook and on Instagram, and you know, don't get mad because they ain't commenting. God trying to move them away. Don't get mad when you ain't liking everybody's stuff. God trying to move you. He trying to separate you. He trying to get you out of the way because there is something God wants you to do. Because let me help you out. Because what will happen is we start trusting in them more than we do God. Truth be told, come on, let's be honest. Let's be an honest check. You put that cute picture of you up, and you trying to see how many folk going to like your status and like your picture and give you a thumbs up and say something. Girl, you know you got it. Man, look at you. You all right. You. Come on, y'all. Let's be real in the house. But not once do we get in the face of God and say, well, God, do you like me? God, do I get a thumbs up from you? Do I look good to you today, Lord? We get our focus off of God and we start looking at me. Okay, let me not. Okay. So what will we get to? Jesus gets to the point where he sends his disciples, say, hey, y'all go to the other side. Go on. I'm going to deal with the crowd. I got some stuff I need to do. He went and prayed. Now, the thing, I've read this before, and it was, I was like, well, this is wild. Because the scripture says in the fourth watch, of the night. Now, if you don't know anything about watches, the fourth watch of the night is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And in my mind, thinking, well, why was they still up? Why was Jesus up? And I heard the Holy Spirit say he went to pray because he knew what was getting ready to come. He knew that his disciples was getting ready to get in trouble and that the storm was coming. And if he didn't do something for them, that they were going to fall apart. Okay, where are you going with this, evangelist? The Lord knows what's coming down the pike for you. He neither slumbers nor sleep. What is he doing? He's making intercession for us. He's praying for us that the enemy don't pluck us out of his hand. That who he holds in his hand, that no devil in hell can pluck him out. Come on, I'm going somewhere with this. Because God is setting us up. We're in a time where we ain't got time to be playing. It ain't about whether you like me and whether you speak to me or not. People are hurting in the world. People are hurting. They come into church. How many people come into church and they're hurting? They're looking for an answer. They're looking for a way out. And you worried about what they got on. You worried about how they smell. You worried about what sin they committed. You worried about what they've done. No, baby, it's your soul right. What's the problem? We ought to be so in tune to God that when people walk in, oh, I can feel. You know something done walked in and something is wrong. You might not can't pinpoint, but you felt the spirit when it walked in. Not that it was a spirit of sin, but it was a spirit of heaviness. It was a spirit of something that they were going through. And see, so when we get like that, then we know how to pray. Jesus prayed because he knew what was coming. How many of you prayed this morning for service to decipher what might walk through the door today? That you be ready to be a vessel that God could use to bring deliverance and healing to somebody. Heard a preacher say, some of us is too fat. Got too much word in us. We too spiritual, too deep, that we ain't no good. Can't decipher a flea on the wall from a fly. But he was in the watch. It was the fourth watch of the night, between three and six. And let me help you understand. We're going to do a teaching on this. This is the time in where you get when you're establishing your day. If you are a fourth night watch hour intercessor, this is the time when you are interceding and you are setting your day in motion. And I thought it interesting because it said the watch before that is when the devils are coming back home. In this watch, they're coming back home. They done worked. In other words, they're tired and they're going back to relax. So they really ain't thinking about us right now. I know we have to do a teaching. Y'all have to come back. We're going to teach this because we need to understand how we should be praying. I'm still talking about keeping an eye on the Lord. And so in this watch is when the time to set your day. When we come and we seek God, we're establishing our day, we're commanding our morning. Check this out, and we're getting our focus on the Lord. We're getting set to face the day. So Jesus was praying because he was getting ready to face the day, because he had to go before his disciples for what they needed. So he was making preparation for them, not that he needed to command his day, but for them, so that they could be made ready to receive what was getting ready to happen. Okay, let's move on. So during this time, the disciples are on the water, a storm arises, and they get scared. Ain't that like us? We done shouted. We done seen the blessings of the Lord. We done watched God move. We done watched God bless. And by the time we get home, the storm has arose. And we about to fall apart. Oh, God. Lord, why this happening? Lord, I was just praising you. No, he was making you prepared. Okay, okay. I'm trying to help us to keep our eyes on the Lord. I know, I'm a hasten on. Oh, Lord, let me hurry up. So when they got in the midst of the storm, they got nervous, they got scared, but they looked. Now, my question was, who was y'all looking for? Who was they looking for in the storm? You in the storm, you in the water, you in the middle of the ocean, the sea. Who are you looking for? That's what it's saying. They was looking. And I'm like, well, who was they looking for? But let me help us out. When we get in a storm, we got to start looking. We looking. Maybe they was looking for Jesus. Maybe they were looking for the shoreline. I don't know what they was looking for. But in their looking, they saw something. Oh, my God. I just got 5 points I'm going to share with you. That's all. I know we should have 3, but I got 5. And as they were looking, they started doubting. Because they shouldn't have been looking anyway, probably. And they thought they saw a ghost. The Bible says a spirit out in the water, which is a ghost. And no doubt they probably thought some of the folk that died in the sea, they was rising up and they was coming. They wasn't sure what they were seeing, but they got nervous. They got scared. So my first point is, don't doubt what the Lord shows you. The Lord was showing them him, but they begin to doubt. And many times when we are in a situation, when we are in a test, when we're in a trial, sometimes even before we get there, the Lord will show us what's getting ready to happen. He will show us that he's with us. He will show us the end from the beginning. Come on. But we doubt. We can't doubt. Tell your neighbor, don't doubt. We can't become fearful and doubt what we see in the middle of the storm. I'm in the storm, but you got to know that what you see is not a ghost. It really is the Lord. That the Lord really is there with you. Because see, I know we can get in some stuff sometimes and it gets so heavy and it gets so hard and it gets so deep. We don't see God. We think, well, God is not here. That ain't God. That's just my imagination. Come on, you ever been there and you just thought, well, it was just me thinking this. I just thought this up. That really wasn't God. That's not what God said. And God really didn't use the preacher. He didn't use the prophet to say that. That was my own thinking. Tell your neighbor, don't doubt what the Lord shows you. So he kept going, and point number 2, I'm trying to hasten on. We got to learn how to put our doubts away and go after what nobody else is going after. What you mean? Verse 28, Peter, he was looking too. He was leaning over the boat, and he was looking, and no doubt he saw the spirit, and he was thinking it was a spirit, but the Lord had reassured him and said, no, it's me. And see, when you get in a storm, you can't be scared to go after what it is that God told you to go after. Songwriter said, don't wait till the battle is over. You can shout now. Don't wait till the battle is over to go after what God has told you to go after. Some of us are sitting in here and God has called you to do certain things. Okay, let me help you out. Some of y'all, he just called to live right. And you having a hard time living right because you're scared of what you're going to have to give up. Because I don't want nobody to say, well, she would look. Why she look at me? I'm not looking at you. If you feel that, that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And you're scared to live right because you think you're not going to have fun, because you're thinking about what all you got to give up. You're thinking about all that you, the friends you're going to lose. They ain't really your friend no way. They just juicing you. Every time you go out, check it out, you paying for their drinks and food, and you paying for them to get in the club. I'm just saying. But you're scared to go after what God has showed you. He showed you peace. He showed you happiness. He showed you satisfaction. He showed you that there is joy in him, but you're scared. Don't be scared. Tell your neighbor, don't be scared. You got to put your doubts away and go after it. Nobody else going after it. Well, you be the box breaker and you go after it. They got these red shirts on to birth, and you be the one to birth it on out and go after it. You go get what nobody else will go get. I got anybody that's willing to go get what nobody else is going after? You're not afraid to sacrifice. You're not afraid to give up. You're not afraid to turn your plate down. You're not afraid to lose a few hours of sleep so that the Lord, to get what God got for you. God is not a band-aid. He'll make you whole if you let him. You know how we point three. Well, I ain't finished with two. So Peter went on. What did he go after? He asked him, he said, if this is you, bid me to come. Now, Peter was the only one. He was bold. I got any bold for? I know I got some Peters that'll fight. But do I got any Peters that will go after God? Peter wasn't scared to go after God. He said what he said, and he did what he did. He cut the man's ear off. It didn't matter. I'm going to go after God, because he felt like what he was doing was what God wanted to be done. I got any Peters in here? You, in other words, you're not scared to go after what God has got. Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. You're not scared to go after what Jesus is doing. Thank you for the two claps. What you mean? Peter saw Jesus walking on the water. I was getting dressed, and I said, Lord, wouldn't it be nice if I just started walking in midair today? I said, Lord, I don't know if my faith is, I don't know, you know, but I sure was willing to try it. I said, Lord, if I put it out there, you gonna help me? I thought Bishop might be like, Lord, what is this woman trying to do? So I said, well, Lord, I recognize that my faith ain't all the way there. So I'm not even going to try that. He give us wisdom. But, I mean, really, Peter saw Jesus walking on the water. And he said, well, for sure, if that's you, bid me to come. He didn't ask to do the, he didn't say, if that's you, let me walk on it. He didn't even ask to walk. He just said, bid me to come, if that's you. So he had enough faith to believe that if Jesus could do it, I can do it. You heard the preacher say he was the only one that got out the boat. He got out the boat. I got any get out the boat people on the day? You tired of tradition? You tired of the same old, same old? Uh-oh. I think I got them thinking, Bishop. They ain't going to raise their hand and say, yes. I saw two. See, three. They like, oh, right here. Like, oh, okay. You know, like they in an auction. Come on. Peter got out the boat. He didn't ask, you coming, Mike? You coming? Bishop, you coming? He didn't ask nobody. He said, bid me to come in. And the thing I like about it, he didn't hesitate. The scripture didn't say, he jumped right on out the boat. Threw his leg over the boat. And I'm thinking, God, that's faith. Okay, let me stay on track. So he was willing to do what Jesus was doing. He walked on the water. Look at somebody and say, ooh, he walked on water. Point number three, when Jesus told him to come, he got out the boat and he walked on water. He did it. So in other words, point three is you got to do it. You got to do it. He said, come. He didn't say, well, Lord, I got sandals on. Well, Lord, what's going to happen? How deep is the water? Lord, are you really on the land and I just can't see the land? Because I'm thinking you in the sea, that, you know, you down there. It's some depth. And I ain't but barely 5 feet. So I would already be thinking, how quick am I going to fall in? Right? I'm going to tell this and I'll move on. I remember our kids when they were young. And we had went to the swimming pool. I won't tell which one it was. And we had went to the swimming pool. I knew I couldn't swim. Bishop was in the water. And they were little. And I was sitting on the side with the little one, the one that was little at the time, that really shouldn't have been in the water, probably. And we were swinging our feet, you know, playing in the water. And the next thing I knew, my baby fell off and went shoom. He went straight down. I was like, ah! I was sitting there like, ah, get my baby. I did not jump in. I called his daddy. Oh. And I said, get my baby. Get my son out that water. He went straight down. I said, get my baby. And that, I said that to say, when Peter got out, that's what could have happened. But because his faith held him up. Not only did his faith hold him up, but he had his focus on God. Now, I'm going to say this because it blew my mind when I got to it. So he was focused. He had his eyes on Jesus, and he knew there was nothing he could do. Let me help you out. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what's happening in your life. I don't care what test you are in right now. You have got to focus. Get your eyes on the Lord. Because everything that is around you is telling you you can't. Everything that you see, everything that you hear is saying you can't. Because it's the world's job, it's the enemy's job to come against everything that God says we can. Okay. So he got out the boat and he walked. I just want to ask you a question. Do you got your eyes on Jesus? Do you have your eyes on Jesus? Point number four, keep your eyes on the Lord. Tell somebody, keep your eyes on the Lord. So what happened was, what the children say, what had happened was, okay. Back in our scriptures, we're keeping our eyes on the Lord. Because I want to drive this point home, because when I saw it, it was real important to me. It stuck out. It jumped out at me. The scripture says, the moment Peter saw the wind and how boisterous it was, I was like, Saul. Okay, we're going to do a little help you out. Saul is past tense for see. Everybody got me? So since he saw, means he had to have seen the wind first. He already knew what was going on. He already knew that the storm was there. He already knew that it was boisterous. He already knew that it was blowing, not just the wind, but the water was blowing. He already knew what was happening because he could see it. But when he stepped out of the boat, when he saw Jesus, when he got his focus, God, on Jesus, the wind ceased to exist. What do you say? He couldn't see it no more. When you get your eyes on the Lord, you no longer see what's going on around you. But as long as you don't have your focus and you're not looking at Jesus, you can see everything that's wrong. You see the distraction. You see the negativity. You see who's not with you. You see who's against you. You see the lack. You see what you don't have. Am I making sense to somebody? You see how hard the test is. You see how hard the trial is. You see how you feel in your body. You don't see and you don't focus on Jesus. But when you focus on the Lord, all that stuff, it ceases to exist. It no longer, thank you, Holy Spirit, it no longer has a bearing on what you are doing. And that's why Peter was able to walk on the water. Because he was no longer looking at the wind. Let me help you out. Because when it first started, they was looking at the wind. Oh, my God, there's a storm out. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? Oh, Lord, we in this little boat and all this water and all this wind. Oh, we out here. We have no oars. Oh, what are we going to do? But when he saw Jesus and he said, if it's you, let me come. What happened? Everything around him, he went blind to it. Because as long as I see Jesus, I don't see this. As long as I have a vertical look, I don't see horizontally. I don't see what's around me. Come on. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. I thought you'd jump up and go run around the building by now, because you got a revelation that what you see is really not what you see. That if you get your focus on the Lord, that if you begin to look at the Lord, what you see and what you're going through, that it no longer has any bearing on you. That it can't prevent you from going forward in God. As long as I see what's wrong, I'm going to see what's wrong. And it's going to stay wrong. But the moment I begin to look beyond my lack, Bishop has a saying, I'll never be broke another day in my life. I don't care. It might look like I ain't got nothing, but I ain't broke. I said, I'll never be broke. As long as I got a penny, I'm not broke. I got a penny. If you go to the right gumball machine, you can stick that penny in and get something out of it. You find four more, you got a nickel, and I can still get me something. Take them five pennies and get me a whole case nickel and go to the vending machine or to the bubblegum machine to get me something. I ain't broke. I might not have $100, but if I got $10 in the bank, I ain't broke. And so you got to realize that if I quit looking at what's around me and focus on God, I can do what he called me to do. So what? You ain't been to seminary, but you know 10 verses. Take them 10 verses and work them. Work them 10 verses. You might not can't preach like Bishop, because Lord knows I can't. Preach like you can preach. Teach like you can teach. Declare the word like you can teach. You might not know the verses, but I tell you what, go to your Bible app and read the scripture. The Lord is not going to banish us if we don't know how to quote scriptures. I'm just saying. I don't think the thief on the cross quoted scriptures. Got Bible to back it up. I'm sorry. But the devil will make us think, oh, because you don't know scriptures. You ain't spiritual and you ain't deep and you ain't saved. You don't know the word. The devil is a lie. I know how to go right here to the table of contents. And if I get desperate enough, if you look right there on YouVersion, it's got a little magnifying glass, stick it in there and put in some keywords and it'll bring up what you're looking for. I'm trying to help you defeat the devil and keep your eyes on the Lord. I know we ain't hollering and screaming and running all across. Oh, Lord, I got to hurry up. Y'all making me preach too long. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Peter saw it. He saw the wind again because he had already seen it. And when he saw it the second time, it was because he took his eyes off the Lord. Don't take your eyes off the Lord. Point number five, because if you take your eyes off the Lord, no, well, that's not point number five, but if you take your eyes off the Lord, you're going to sink. In other words, you're going to give in to what you see around you. Because your flesh is too hard. You don't need to keep praying. The more you pray, the worse it gets. Why you keep praying? Why you keep trusting the Lord? Why you keep going to church? Why you keep listening to what Bishop Fuller is saying? And why you keep listening to what Evangelist Fuller is saying? Why you keep doing that? Why? Ain't nothing changed. Ain't nothing changed. You still in the same predicament. You still in the same boat. Why? Because you done took your eyes off the Lord. Baby doll, sweet cakes, honey pie. I'm trying to help you keep your eyes on the Lord. And sometimes helping you keep your eyes on the Lord means I might be quiet for a space of time. Because it didn't say that Jesus carried on a conversation with Peter when he told him to come. Oh, somebody say, oh. Y'all know what? I'm having fun. I'm enjoying the word because it's helping me. But he didn't have a conversation. He just told him to come, and then he got quiet. He stood there to see, what is he going to do? And Jesus, the Lord, is looking at us. Now, what they going to do? They've made a declaration. They've determined they're going to walk with me. I told them to come on. I'll be with you always. I'll never leave you, neither will I forsake you. But now that the storm has gotten bad and it's gotten boisterous and it's gotten a little bit dark, you got a little lightning and a little thunder and you got rain clouds and you got some wind, you got some hail storms. I want to see what you're going to do now. He's quiet because he want to see what we're going to do. Are we going to keep our eyes on Jesus? We're going to look at what we're going through. And just by chance, you do like Peter and take your eyes off the Lord and see the storm again. And when he did that, what happened to him? Scripture said he started to sink. What do you mean? When I take my eyes off the Lord, you give in to your fleshly desires. That's why you're doing what you're doing. That's why you cussing like a sailor. That's why you drinking and lying. That's why you getting high. I ain't looking at y'all. That's why you ain't read your word in 2 months. That's why you don't come to Bible study on Wednesday night. That's why you content with this fix on Sunday morning. But this fix ain't going to take you to next Sunday. Because I promise you, I'm going to eat when I leave church, and I'm going to eat before I go to bed. I'm going to eat in the morning. I'm going to eat tomorrow evening. I'm going to eat more than one natural meal a day. So how much more should we eat the spiritual? I mean, can you really, and like Bishop said, don't raise your hand, be satisfied only coming to church on Sunday morning and getting, we got here 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, in 2 hours, I know we time to go, getting a 2-hour meal. And it's going to take you to next Sunday, perhaps. You content with that? Oh, but you say you love the Lord. You say, I'm fire baptized. I'm sold out for Jesus. But you don't come to Bible study. Don't come to midweek service. Don't come to afternoon service on Sunday. They church too much. I'm sorry. Okay. Lord Jesus. You start to sink. And we come up with 10,000 excuses as to why we can't come to church. Amen. 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 Y'all said, yeah, thank you for saying amen. But when he cried out to the Lord, point number 5, in his sinking, he cried out to the Lord. Tell somebody, when you start to sink, cry out to the Lord. What do you mean sinking? When you see yourself giving in to your fleshly desires, when you see yourself, that thing that you're going through has now become more to you than the Lord, it's time to cry out. And he cried out to the Lord, save me. Save me, Lord. We can't be scared to come in and ask the Lord to save us. You might need to come to the altar, but it's okay. Don't be bashful. Bashful. You weren't bashful when you were sinning. You weren't bashful when you took your eyes off the Lord. You did it wide open. Like, all on Facebook. All on Instagram. You sure. I know. I see some of y'all posts. I don't say nothing, but I see it. Be like, Lord, help him, Jesus. Sometimes when we go in that inbox, you don't take that picture down. How do we get here? Bishop, come on, help me out, Bishop. Bishop like, oh, I can't help her. But in my closing, come on, bring me on in, as the preachers say, bring me on in. You need to cry out to the Lord. Don't allow yourself to sink in what you're going through. Peter knew Jesus was the one. Because you notice, he didn't ask them that was in the boat. He didn't ask them to throw me out a life preserver. He didn't ask them, can you come get me help? He said, Jesus, save me. And what did Jesus came to him? Which meant, I told you, Jesus was standing back watching him. See what he was going to do. Scripture says, and Jesus came to him, picked him up. Not only did he just, he carried him, Lord God Almighty, carried him back to the boat. Jesus will pick you up right where you are and carry you to where you're supposed to be. Ooh. Ooh. I'm telling you, ain't that something? You were trying to get somewhere, but because we took our eyes off of Jesus, we started to sink. And when we cried out, he had mercy and he picked us up and he said, let me take you to where you're supposed to be. First of all, you had no business out here in the water anyway. Even though I gave you permission. But I'm going to take you back to where you're supposed to be. Put you back in the boat. And then I'm going to have fellowship with you. Somebody needs to cry out to the Lord. And ask the Lord to help me. Save me. So he can pick you up. And take you back to where you're supposed to be. He's been there all along. Because he was standing there in the sea. He said, I've been watching you the whole time. Ooh, I hear the Holy Spirit say, I've been watching you the whole time. He said, I never turned my back on you, but I just watched you. And I was waiting for you to say, save me, Lord. I need you to save me. Because you know why? Why he's watching you? Because he sees that you're really not happy where you are. You're really afraid. Peter is just a parallel to really what we're doing now. He was afraid. That's what scripture, he got afraid. And that's how we are. He's a parallel. We out here. We out there now. You out there now. But you're really afraid. But you want people to be, I'm good. Hey. No, you. But down on the inside, you're afraid. You're crying. You're hollering like, Lord, I need help. But them that are around can't help me. Because they just like me. They messed up like me. He couldn't call them in the boat because they were still scared. They was looking to see what's going to happen. Ooh, y'all see Pete out there? Is he still out there walking? I'm waiting. I know he going down. I know he going to drown. Them jokers you running around with, they waiting to see you fall. They skinning in your face all the time. They won't take your place. Y'all, come on, them backstabbers. Y'all know y'all got a little age on me. I know that. I know that song. See, you fooling around with folk. They really backstabbing you in the back. That don't mean you no good. They waiting for you to fall so they can say, I knew want nothing to them. They waiting for you to fall so they can tell your business. Okay. But I stopped by today to tell you. Keep your eyes on the Lord. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how heavy the test may be. Don't take your eyes off God. don't take your eyes, because if you take, where are you going to go if you take your eyes off God? You have nothing. You have nobody. Peter was in the middle of the sea and he had nothing. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Call out to him. Trust him. And let God do in us what needs to be done so we can do what he's doing. I want to do what the Lord is doing. I want to do what God is doing. And it's not a hard thing. Because fear going to come and make you feel like you can't do it. But that's when you see it and don't see it. Focus on the Lord and go where God tell you to go. Somebody said, if you got to do it scared. I ain't got to do it scared. I'm going to do it in faith. Because God did not give me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I understand what they're saying, but I'm not going to do it scared. Because if I do it scared, I'm going to stay scared. I'll never come out of it. I'm going to always be scared. No, I ain't being, because God called me to be confident in him. So I'm going to do it in God confidence. That's it. I'm going to do it in God confidence. Okay, God, you brought this to me. So, okay, here we go. You lead the way. I'm following you, Lord. And I'm not going to take my eyes off of you. Some of us need to pray, Lord, give me blinders. Give me, what's some them little things on the side? Blinders. Blinders. Okay, give me blinders that I can't see to the left, not to the right, but that I got to stay focused. We got peripheral vision, but in the spirit, sometimes you don't need it. Because it'll take you out. Come on and stand to your feet. We get ready. I'm going to my seat. This was a good word today. I enjoyed it.